Ross Radio, First Thing in the Morning, Dev TV, Nothing But Ear.
Give me up that guitar there, buddy. Live, swing it, baby. Woo!
Radio. Way, 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 way too early in the morning to be drinking Red Bull sugar-free. Turn the music back up there. Hush. All right, it's never too early. Roth Radio. Broadcasting live, hot, naked, steaming, screaming, ambitious, full of enthusiasm, full of baloney. From New York City. The nerve center of a gangland stronghold. The most singularly powerful signal in the entire history of broadcasting. New York, from Philadelphia, Dallas, congratulations, Pittsburgh, Cleveland, Boston, West Palm Beach, and, I'm sorry?
Come on, baby, say it.
Say what?
You know.
You?
You know. Yeah,
yeah. Go ahead, you say it. You say
it. Tell me, you say it.
No, you say it.
Yakima!
Robin McKay sharing the toaster like a nuclear Shrike missile in the Pop-Tarts first thing in the morning. My animal, how are you this morning, man?
I'm doing all right this morning, Dave. How about you?
Did you have a good weekend?
Oh, yeah. It snowed on me a little bit, but you know, I'm managing.
You like the warm? You like cold weather? Did it used to snow in Montgomery, Alabama?
Yeah, it snows up in north Montgomery.
I know. I don't know North Montgomery.
Well, you know, north of Montgomery, what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, like Calgary. Brian, yeah. How are you this morning, babe? See, Brian and I, what we're doing here is it's kind of it's like the guy in Led Zeppelin meets Letterman and Paul Schaefer kind of a thing. I call it track slapping. Go ahead, turn the track up. Play live there a little bit. Brian, go ahead, babe. Swing on it, babe. Yes. I'm going to drink my Red Bull sugar-free, babe, and I'm going to make eyes at Sasha. Woo! Okay, only the news that's important here. What did I just do with the important news? I just lost it. No, I didn't lose it. I just knocked it over, man. This Red Bull is amazing. I have like a totally addictive nature. If anything worth doing is worth overdoing. Robin?
Didn't you just... I thought you just wanted to see Sasha bend down.
Good move.
Sasha's the best intern. Now I know what Bill Clinton had going, man. Twinkle, twinkle, little star. Like Clinton said, have a cigar. How are you, Sasha? It's good to see you, sweetheart. Okay. And that brings us right up to the most important news. Stephen Baldwin protests NIAC. Where's NIAC from here? Do you know? Sash, where's NIAC from where we are right now? I don't know. I've flown over it in the helicopter, but I don't know exactly if it's north or south. Anyways, NIAC. Actor Stephen Baldwin, and it's a little quiet town, as I'm thinking, you know, kind of a Hamptons, Montauk, kind of a quiet provincial type of a place. Actor Stephen Baldwin doesn't like pornography and says he'll do anything to shut down a new shop on Route 59. Baldwin stood outside 28 Route 59 last night and photographed workers in their vehicles as they readied the adult entertainment store for business. Do adult entertainment places still have windows that go down like for 25 cents and... You bend down as far as you can go, and it's like you're going to get the last 4 cents. Madonna did a video with that. You know, that was when the what is now the Bennigan's Steakhouse on 42nd and 8th or whatever, when it used to be
Peep Show.
Peep World. And you would go in, and there would be a girl in the middle, and there'd be booths all the way around, and you have a window for 25 cents. Did you ever go to something like that, Animal?
Yeah, it's one on Hollywood Boulevard. It's called a cave. I've been up in there in my younger days.
Is it the same exact thing?
Yeah, you know, it's like a, it's not a curtain that goes down. It's like a peephole. It's like you put your money in, then all of a sudden, when it get good, it closes up. And you got to run and get your money and like, boom, put it in there and stuff, man. But yeah, they still got them in L.A.
Hold on. Are you hearing a buzz? You hear that?
It's the Red Bull, man.
No, no, there's definitely a hum going on in something here.
You know what? It's that.
You think it's that?
Yeah.
Hold on, I'm going to...
It's our new toy.
Hold on, let me turn it off and see. Hold on. Oh, it is now.
Oh, yeah, it's our new toy.
Well, no, what we're doing here, ladies and gentlemen, because I'm coming from a musical bias here, which means that, you know, I have no background in radio, which makes us perfect. No, there's nothing predictable. I wouldn't even know what to do that's predictable, you know, other than turn up the volume here. So what we did is we got an actual stereo in here that we can actually play the tunes, and it's like, you know, your own little porta band.
Right.
You want to do it? You want to play a tune on it and see?
Go ahead, do it.
Because if you're going to sing, you got to feel like the boom. I mean, you know, how many lyrics in hip-hop do you have to get before you understand this? How many speakers in your lowered 51 Mercury do you have to have before you understand this? So watch, I'll turn it on, and we'll do the jam. You want to try to do that? See if this actually works.
Right. I'm going to put it on. Hold on.
I'm going to have to take you down, Brian, a little.
This is a lesson in terror.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, are you ready?
Go ahead.
Here we go. That doesn't sound too bad. Get a bad shape.
See, it's like you have a band in the studio. You don't have to listen through these pansy little monitors anymore. Right?
And sounds a little like
bass.
A concert hall sound, too. It's got that.
My heart, you do. Baby, I see you. Take good care.
Find a lot of nice things to wear. Find a lot of nice things to bear.
Yeah.
Now sing with it.
Ooh, baby, it's a wide world. Something to try.
Okay, we're back. Anyways, we had a porn star in Nyack, and I had an idea. What if we get Animal? And we get little Jimmy Briscoe, the little guy who works for me, little Jimmy, the little guy.
How is little Jimmy doing?
Jumbo then? Jimmy is doing great. He called up to wish me a happy birthday last week.
Oh, he did?
Cool. Well, he got a small drinking problem. My birthday's in October.
No, that's what I was going to say.
But
man,
he's a little guy, so it's a little problem.
Oh, okay.
No. They're not that good. Knock it off, Hutch. I'm warming up. The humor muscle is warming up.
It's early. Yeah.
It is.
It's early.
Turn up the music. Let him play. Come on, man. Go for it. What I said to Brian originally when we started this gig is, look, what we're going to do, it would be like the combination of the guys in Led Zeppelin meets Letterman and Schaefer. But, you know, how are you going to bring in all these different bands? So I invented this. It's called track slapping. And well,
you better get it patented, Dave.
I should get it patented. This is actually how I started my career. I turned up the stereo and I did this. And that's how you started your career in guitar, right? Turn it up. Turn up the music. Go ahead and jam, baby. Jam, you white mofo.
Yeah! Oh! And my special guest is gonna be Lindsay Lohan's mommy.
Oh! Alright, knock it off, you crazy one. I have no idea where Nyack is, but Baldwin is staying out in front of the store, and he's writing down the names, and he says he's going to get the license plates of the store's patrons in order to track down their identities. He said he would take on a full-page newspaper advertisement once a month to publish those names, and I won't stop until it shuts down. They said the store would attract crime, lower property values, deteriorate Nyack's quality of life. These are a few of my favorite things.
You know, if you just get one of the videos and go home and relax, maybe this whole thing would go
away
for him.
What video would you recommend, Robin?
You know, I don't
Forrest
know
Hump.
Dave Deep does throat. Dallas.
Crazy Colonel Coeds. I recommend the fourth variation. It's like the fourth Led Zeppelin album. It's just inarguably the best. It's a out of control undergrads. I'm just, hey,
the seventh filthy samurai.
It's the seventh filthy samurai. That could be it. Now, you know, he's got a point. You know, he's got a neighborhood, and he's concerned about, you know, what's going to be there. Perhaps he's more concerned about the regular neighborhood turns out to be the folks who actually patronize this. We've had phone calls from people, you know, calling that. We got Dr. Back, who says that everybody who is getting a new front is the local.
It's going a little sideways.
Yeah, it's the people who live next to you on the side. You know, it's the butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker, and mostly his wife and his progeny, right?
Yep.
And that who else is going to frequent the porn store? It's not like, you know, everybody from down where I live is going to rush to Nyack to buy their porno. It's like, you know, where I live is, you know, it's our own little desperate. I like to think of it as a desperate enclave.
They'll start selling in supermarkets soon.
What? Selling what in supermarket?
Selling porn. You know how they sell DVDs and stuff? You know, little kids' DVDs.
They already do. They just market, they wrap it, like in the airport. They just wrap it up in a plastic bag and then, you know, wrap in with a yellow line, like a ink right. over all the, you know, the vital parts, the Bermuda Triangle or whatever. And then you see it right on most normal liquor stores now. You see it on most, like you say, grocery stores. Right? Where else do I see this? Probably you'll start seeing it at hardware stores. Where else would you want to sell it?
Churches? Right?
Oh, no.
You're not going to see it at church.
Maybe the airport, maybe.
Anyway, my idea is, Animal, you know, we got my 51 Mercury shipped out here now that I actually have a steady gig for the first time in my life.
All right. That's a bad ride. I love that ride. When we was in Vegas, oh, man, we was got so many compliments. Everybody was like wanting to know who we was. It was wild, man. That's a bad ride.
I got a 51 Mercury lowrider. Chop drops. Got a 4.5-inch regulation window like this. And it's got a DeSoto grill that looks like big chrome teeth in front.
Yeah.
And it's lowered, right, with that little windshield and a white top. And it's got that cloth white top like this. And when you stand in front of it and just kind of bend your knees just a little, it looks like a great big pair of leering orange sunglasses coming at you down the highway, you know.
Yeah.
You know what I just thought?
What?
If everything in your life is coming your way, Robin, you're probably facing the wrong damn lane, man. Okay, I promised no metaphysics before happy hour, but I lied. I did. I lied to you, baby.
You've been lying to me, baby, for such a long time.
It's part of the attraction.
Yeah.
I'm unobtainable.
It works.
Anyways, what I was thinking is, why don't we get like Animal or Animal and Brian? You look reputable, but certainly not in Nyack. You know,
we'll get some movies.
Yeah, absolutely. And cruise like 5 nights in a row because
cruise
the
Nyack.
Sorry,
will we cruise in Nyack?
Exactly. And we'll find out where Nyack is because I guarantee you, if Stephen Baldwin is living there, Animal, there's nobody who looks like you living next to him.
I'll probably get pulled over time we hit the city limits, man. You know how
well,
we look.
It's almost kind of the point. This is what we call agitprop theater, like Michael Moore did for the gun movie or the movie about Flint, Michigan and the cars and whatnot. It's called agitprop, where you agitate, and that's your proposition for the movie instead of a plot. Instead of actual a storyline so much, you agitate and shake the tree, and whatever falls out, whatever little monkeys fall out, then you film them and what they do.
You're kidding me, man. You got to be kidding.
Well, that's my definition, but the term actually exists. That's what it is. It's agitation proposition, and that's the truth. You agitate something, shake up the box, and then film what happens inside.
Oh.
So, you know, like Michael Moore would go and drive an ice cream truck in front of Congress or the Saudi Arabian embassy or whatever, and then he would, you know, the cops would come out and interview him, and then the media would stop and film, and he would film that. He would agitate, and that's, you know, that's his plot line or whatever. So maybe we could do that. I don't know what for what purpose. You know, it's purposeless, but it's kind of what you hired us to do, isn't it, America? Come on, New York. Come on, Philadelphia. Don't lie to me. Dallas. Wake up, cowgirl. So what if we get you in the 51 Mercury animal in full blast Crip gear?
Oh, man. Like, I would scare that neighborhood half to death, man.
You would scare the robot over at Jack Radio so tight, you'd make that computer whiz his pants.
All I have to do is just show up when you first met me. You know how crazy I used to dress, man. That would just freak them out, man.
And you go in the 51, go with Brian, and go with little Jimmy.
Oh, man, it'd be a riot then, man.
We'd get little Jimmy in his tuxedo. He looks like Mr. Peanut, How tall is Jimmy when he's, like, full blast up and running? 4 feet tall,
about 4.5.
Yeah, I've been working with him for almost 25 years.
I've been working with him for, like, 5, 6 years?
Since That's I've right. I, and he came from the Barnum & Bailey Circus. He was working... with the Barnum & Bailey, popping out of the clown car and all of that kind of stuff. No, he traveled all over the world. You know, when you see, like, in the back of my book, there's two little guys, and like Munchkin, whatever, but they're wearing SWAT team uniforms. What I did is, let's face it, Animal, you're the best in the business, but routinely we see a big guy, and that's necessary because, when it comes full force function, it's mostly a job of wrangling, right?
Yeah.
When was the last time you ever punched anybody on my behalf? Never.
Never.
It's a question of wrangling, over here, over there. Well, someday you could even be like a television director. Go back, come forward. Stop.
Say roll 'em.
Roll 'em.
You don't say roll 'em. I say roll 'em. I was on the set when that happened one time. They was arguing who say roll 'em and stuff. Yeah, man. My little 15 minutes of fame. I was in a movie called Hard Justice. I forgot who was starring in. I was the gun dealer in it. Only got my 15 minutes of fame, but
were you a good gun dealer?
Oh yeah, but that
this is the first time
stuff,
I'm hearing about this. Tell us what's going on there.
Well, it happened like in 92 maybe, when I thought I wanted to be an actor and stuff, but that hurry up and wait stuff, I wasn't with that, man.
I'm not too good at the art of letting things alone either, man. Sitting around in the trailer for
you got it, man. And then I used to get into arguments with people about the food, man. It sucked and stuff, man. I'm trying to, then they found out who I was, like the guy that was putting the film on. I was his bodyguard. That's how I got the spot anyway in the movie.
Nepotism.
Yeah.
I love that.
But yeah, I'm the gun dealer in Hard Justice, man.
We've discovered this is more like Animal's House.
Yeah.
This is your reality series.
Uh-oh. All right.
I've known
my
you for...
My mom right here, Robin. What's up, Mom?
Now, Animal, I was very proud of you in that film.
Oh, thank you, Mom.
You take those jobs any way you can get it, baby boy.
Yeah.
Turn up the music. I can't compete with that.
Play it.
Anyway, Jimmy and Danny was the other little guy, right? And this was back when we were working Van Halen. And I said, well, everybody's got the necessary big dudes, whatever. What can we do that's going to be something a little more high impact? Because let's face it, most of our fans were somewhat too mildly to extremely intoxicated. And most people don't pay attention unless you wake them up somehow. So I got the two little guys as my bodyguards. And Jimmy and Danny, first thing we did is we got them SWAT team uniforms, with the hat. Mm-hmm. And we got them, with the blue shirt and the cargo pants. And we got them with the what's called a Sam Brown gun belt, with the flashlight and everything. And the billy clubs were so long that they dragged on the floor. Oh, yeah. And they had handcuffs and mace and everything. And, and they were partying like we were, But keep in mind, a little guy, I'd drink one beer and he would drink one beer. But he's the size of my rib cage. Oh, wait. It gets better. Don't go away.
David Lee Roth, Mornings.
Estás conectada a David Lee Roth. Prepárate para combustir. Roth, directo. 6 a.m. You are connected to David Lee Roth. Prepare for combustion. Roth, direct. 6 a.m.
Go ahead.
in the studio, and he's white. Bad Brian Young on the electrical guitar. Amazing. Robin Bakai watching him do it. An animal trying to keep him apart, but not doing a very successful job. Hey,
hey, one elbow length apart, kids. Come on, come on, come on.
Aldous Huxley, our pilot. Hutch, how are you this morning?
I'm extraordinarily well.
You look incandescent. Did you have a good weekend?
I had a really bad Friday the 13th, which involved airlines at JFK.
Where did you go to? Did you go home?
I flew up to Boston for the weekend.
Oh, that's what it is. Yeah. So you saw your significant other there. I could see, good for the blood. Thins the blood, good for the skin, right?
As we say in Birmingham, it cleared the custard.
Yeah, yeah. And as we say in Newcastle, Indiana, she probably snapped your little beetle nut pecker off like a piece of dry Play-Doh.
Something great about going home every couple of weeks, every couple of weekends, see the wife, you know. It's like conjugal sex, which is the best.
Yeah, like a conjugal visit in state prison. Turn up the music. Anyway, Stephen Baldwin protests the NIAC Adult Entertainment Store. My idea is let's get the 51 Merc. Let's put Jimmy and Danny. Oh, I was talking about them. The little the midget bodyguards. The little guy. They're little people. I still forget that. I grew up during Wizard of Oz, you know.
I was wondering, did they represent the Lollipop Guild?
I met a couple of the people from the Lollipop gig through Jimmy and Danny. You know, after working with them for a number of years, there's a community that, particularly on the East Coast here in New York City, as well as obviously Hollywood, you know, there's a society of little people, just like anything else. And they're all showbiz, and they're all professionals and whatnot, and they spend a lot of time together. They go out on trips together. They, like, rent a cruise ship, or they'll take over a part of a resort or whatever, because, you know, they have to re-coordinate things. You know, if you're going to all sit at dinner, that means something different.
That's a lot of little chairs.
It is.
And
these are very dignified little people there. Go ahead.
I was reading a really cool article a couple of years ago about little people and that... they don't like to hang out with other little people.
Well,
they have these conventions where they all go and look for bigger people because being with little people makes them think, oh, I'm little. But they like, I mean, this was kind of a dark article.
All right, well, you always...
A Vegas thing, but they like to go and hang out with... big ladies.
Okay,
big
well, you're probably talking about the great unobtainable. I just looked at the picture of the chick from Poland on the cover of Stuff magazine, and I want to hang out with her, and she's taller, too, okay? It's not going to happen, at least not before the show. So I'm going to hang out with all the other little people here. What's it look like when you hang out with little people, Animal?
Oh, man, you ever seen Master Blaster?
Who's Master Blaster? Oh, wow, he's the rapper. Is he the rapper you're talking about?
No, that's from... What is it?
The guy from Texas. He's like Houston.
Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome.
Oh, yeah. Okay. The one I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, when me and Jimmy hook up, that's how he is. You know.
Oh, you carry him on your shoulders?
Well, we kid around sometime when we're working for you. Me and Jimmy go off. You know, when you give us a break, we just be clowning around sometime. And he's real cool. He wanna like come turn out to be one of my best friends, man.
Well, he's seen the world. He traveled with the circus and everything. He taught me a lot too. Having been through the circus, I remember coming to a gig, walking up the back ramp, which is famous at Madison Square Garden here in New York City. And there is a certain aroma to that ramp. Everybody who's been up there knows exactly what I'm talking about. I don't care if you're Mick Jagger or little Jimmy. Everybody notices it, and nobody really ever says anything. And finally, I was walking up the ramp, and little Jimmy's walking up in front of me after a number of years in the Barnum and Bailey Circus. He said, "You smell that?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Cat whiz." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Big cats." And now every one of you within the sound of my voice knows exactly what I'm talking about. If you're a professional musician or showbiz or the Ice Capades or, you know, whatever it is, that when you walk up that back ramp, you're going to know what I'm talking about. It's lion whiz.
Is that like cheese whiz?
Lion Wiz. That's a sounds like the name of a band that would leave a sticker on my car down where I live. But you know, he shared with me these numbers of things, and we had him in SWAT team outfits, and then I bought him karate uniforms, you know, matching little white karate uniforms with black belts, and they wore these mean ass looking sunglasses, and I told him, never smile. And then we got them little CIA suits. They were gray, you know, like with mirror sunglasses. And they would pretend to, like, talk into the cuff of their sleeve like this. And we would, and we had, like, choreography worked out where I would come through the door to do press. You know, there'd be, like, a press conference, and they would walk in before me, and we'd be walking straight, and I'd imperceptibly, like, snap my fingers, and all three of us would reach up with our right hand and just touch the side of our sunglasses and look off to the right. Oh yeah! Oh, it was impressive. I'm still impressed. And then we partied once. It was at the Detroit something or other. There's like 50 floors to it, and Howard Stern was in the building at the time. He was broadcasting in Detroit at the time. He hadn't started the Howard Stern Empire. And I believe he was in the hotel at the time because there was a major party going on and stuff. And we would position the little guys at the elevator because, you know, we would encourage fans and people to come up onto the floor. And then they would be, like, separated from the boyfriends and stuff like that once they got to the floor by the little guys. Because you would think you descended to hell, man, when the door opened and these two little guys come rushing crotch level at you going, "Get back! Get back! Get back! Get back! Get back!" Lee G from Australia says, "Life to us, Dave, is nothing but butts and elbows." Oh, he must be a little guy. Jumbo Jimmy Briscoe shared that with me once on one drunken evening on a tour bus somewhere in between Calgary, Canada, and San Diego. And I said, "What's life like for you? Jimmy, you're a little guy, you know, what's life really like for you?" And he confided in me. He said, "Dave, life for me, from where my perspective is all behinds and elbows in the face." And I said, "Me too, man." We should get Jimmy on the show, actually. He called. Yeah. No, he just called up recently. You know.
What's up? Did I just lose my microphone?
I think I just lost my microphone. Is that what happened?
Yeah, what happened there?
Maybe I'm losing my mind. Maybe it's this Red Bull. I hope so. If I could lose my mind just on one can of Red Bull, I'm going to save a lot of cash, man. Is Red Bull a drug? Do you think it is?
I'd love to see Jimmy on one.
Maybe some kind of caffeine.
Well, we would go out and you drink. And if I drink one Budweiser, he drinks one Budweiser. He's the size of my rib cage. You follow? I've got like ancillary. You know, I have auxiliary fuel tanks, you know, like legs and feet. I smoke a cigarette. He smokes the whole cigarette.
So does he get really loaded?
Oh, yeah.
These are allegations, Robin. I'm not going to, you know. The man has a family, darling. You know,
of course if he gets loaded, you could pick him up and take him home. It's no big deal.
Well, what you were talking about, picking people up and taking home, is everybody wants somebody taller. Everybody wants a runway supermodel or whatever. Everybody wants a Vegas showgirl. So when you were talking about little people don't like to hang out with little people, well, neither do I. I want to hang out with the chick who's on that fashion channel walking towards me with legs up to her earlobes,
yeah,
you know.
There you go.
I was going to be a nuclear physicist, but my legs were too long.
But then my boobies came in.
Actually, I believe that Jim was married. I know that it was his paramour. I think that's a good word. It was his sweetheart for a long time with a Vegas showgirl. And we were touring in the 80s, and I remember him walking around with her at the blackjack tables and stuff at one of the casinos. And it was great because, you know, it's like when I walk little kids into the emergency room as EMT. That was one of my – I was good with kids. So, you know, but the little kid would have to put her arm all the way up so I could hold her hand. That's what Jimmy looked like with his showgirl. Like he was pointing to the feet of Jesus. I guess he was after a fashion. Or he was going to be. Or somebody would invoking his name, you know, loudly and frequently, with great frequency. And I remember the two of them walking off into the sunset. But now he's got a really sweetheart of a gal, and he's got a kid and everything. But he's got
Is she a little person?
Yeah, she comes really to nice. The set, and she's a sweetheart.
Yeah.
And we work with Jimmy all the time, and I think probably the next thing that we should do is get him out here. Let's get the 51 out of the garage because, you know, we're saving it for the springtime, obviously. But let's get Animal and Jimbo in the 51. Let's send them over to NIAC. Pick up a little porn. And hey, tireless self-promotion is the American way, you guys. Come on, follow me.
Porn and Red Bull.
Yeah. Porn and Red Bull.
David Lee Roth story.
Sounds like the beginning of a weekend to me. But let's take them over. Let's go, drive over there, pick up some porn like 4 or 5 nights in a row, and let him trace the license plate.
Now, how's he going to do that? Is he okay, you write the license plate numbers down, but don't you need some sort of power to get from the license plate to the person's name? What is he, a CSI?
Come on, like they say in Dodgeball, Robin. Freedom of Information Act, Robin. It's one thing the hippies got right.
Can you really do that, though?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they can do that.
You can find your way around. Are you kidding? This is the internet world. This is the world of no privacy ever, anything. Anything you've ever done, said, did, thought, tried, it's gonna, you can find it out. That's a piece of cake.
I'm gonna see if I could find my own name with my own license number on the internet.
Okay, give it a shot. Do you have like a criminal record or something that might come up?
maybe I won't do this.
I think we should send them out and pick up some porn, pick up a case of Red Bull. We're gonna talk about it. Don't go away.
Swing on that, baby.
David Lee Roth, weekday mornings.
Loth, 6 a.m. Loth, 6 a.m.
Get him, baby. Play a little. I'm going to open another Red Bull here.
Tie my belt around my arm and boot it. This is so bad for me, man. I have a totally addictive nature. Anything worth doing is so worth doing overly, man, really. And I'm like, what is this? I just finished one, and it's sugar-free. Therefore, it must be healthy. Do you drink Red Bull?
No, I do not. But I am sitting here watching you down those things.
Wow. I can't drink the coffee because it makes my voice raspy. You know, it's got whatever in it.
I never tasted one.
Try this. Here, give it a shot.
Here we go. Try it.
It tastes like orange soda pop with some of the fizzy gone. And you'll get like the buzz, but you'll get a lot more done.
It's like bubble gum.
You'll be a little funnier. Go ahead.
Okay. Okay, I'll do it for show business.
Okay, while she's down in the world. Jesus!
Hey!
don't Bogart that bull, baby.
Too late.
Anyways, I maintain that we should get the 51 Merc. We should park it in front of the Nyack porn store, and we could have Baldwin take Animal and Jimmy's picture. And publish it on the internet, and perhaps we get another radio station. So maybe Yakima will come in on the fold. What do you think?
I do need to stock maybe. Up on my collection.
You want your collection of what? Porno?
Yeah, I need to get some new stuff.
You don't buy porn, do you? Do you buy porno?
Of course.
What kind of porno do you buy?
Oh, all kinds.
Okay.
DVDs mainly.
Well, here's something that's coming off of the news here. High school porn project shelved. This is important. A high school research assignment on internet pornography. I'm already dubious. Come on. There's no such thing as a high school research assignment on internet pornography.
I think that's called horny teacher.
It's called a really, that's kind of a digital excuse. You know, the internet downloaded my homework. The dog ate my homework. It was a porn product. Come on, didn't Peter Townsend from The Who try this one? This is like the Twinkie defense, but I'm going to suspend my disbelief for at least the next 14 seconds. Here we go. A high school research assignment on internet pornography was canceled after parents in the Cleveland suburb. Hello, Cleveland. We're talking to you. I knew there was a reason we were putting this cell together. Okay. A Cleveland suburb complaint. Superintendent Jeff said that although the teacher's apparent goal to discuss the harmful effects of pornography, well, why else would you buy it? If I want positive effects, I'll drink Tang. I'll take a vitamin. Okay, but the harmful effects of pornography were well-intentioned. He agreed with parents that the assignment was inappropriate for 14 and 15-year-old freshmen at Brooklyn High. Here, what was the assignment? It asked students to research pornography on the internet and list 8 facts about pornography.
Can you do that?
Can I list eight facts?
List eight facts about pornography. Sorry, the Red Bull's kicking in, but go ahead. Eight facts.
Okay, well, you mean positive or negative facts?
Either way.
Okay. I can go for the funny on this, or I could go for the serious. Let me just finish the article. The students were also asked to write their personal views of pornography and the experience they had with it. Okay, I can speak to that. Little Elvis, would you like to weigh in on this? Wow, where'd that come from? Little, hand me that Red Bull. Whoa, he's talking to you. What eight facts would you list about pornography? That it's filthy when it's done correctly.
It's a fact that you like it.
It's a fact that you like it. Do you think it separates people, or do you think it glues them together? Bad verb.
Okay. You have to be naked.
You got... No, you don't.
No, you don't. Or you don't have to be naked.
That's an arguable...
Partially.
No, not...
Oh, okay.
Robin, you're like provincial. What do you mean you have to be naked?
Parts of you...
What, make a zipper? What do you think the button fly on the 501s is for? So you can make little cowgirls. Oh, really?
I'm just trying to come up with facts.
Well, you failed entirely so far.
Are you going to punish me?
There is a fact involved there somewhere about punishment that, like, you should be punished, but I don't know if it's going to be... I can't do it pornographically. That's Nick's job, right? What eight facts would you discuss about pornography? That it's bad for you somehow? You can create that at home, right?
Yeah.
What makes you sweaty?
If you do it right.
Hey, Dave, do you remember homegrown videos?
Vaguely. Go ahead. Reacquaint me. Go ahead.
Homegrown videos is like... It's like unexperienced porno people. It's like your next door neighbor. Like, what are your neighbors doing? You know, it was a big thing like in this early 90s, I think.
Okay, the early 90s, the whole porn industry was really kicking in. Now it's, the huge billion-dollar thing that it was. Because in the early 90s, DVD was just starting. Videotape was a brand new thing. That's, they're talking in the movie Boogie Nights, remember? Yeah. The whole oncoming audio-visual revolution replacing the movie houses and the Pee Wee Herman experience and all of that kind of thing. stay at home and triple your pleasure kind of a thing. So... But, okay, that brings a question to my mind. You're talking about the uninitiated, the amateur, the next door neighbor. Okay?
He's looking right at me.
It was big for like 3 or 4 years. I bought several of that stuff.
It was big for 3 or 4 years. What are you pointing at, Animal?
We're on the radio.
Well, okay, stop. Here we go. Do you think that the next door neighbor and the girl next door or her mom is more adept, cooler, more fun, and better provided than the porn star? Or is the porn star the absolute way to go? Is there really that much of a difference? Because if there was such a difference, well, that explains why so many porn stores are kicking in, right? You've got guys trying to do porn, expos in school. You've got people opening porn stores, porn websites. People have called in and say, I do selective dating, or I've got a thing for swinger porn sites. Is that because the woman next door isn't as good as the porn star?
With all the webcams and stuff, it seems like there's so much porn on the internet now, just from webcams and these young girls, that I would think that there is quite a market for the girl next door.
So you're saying the girl next door is every bit as good as the porn star?
It seems so. Plus, don't you think
I want some phone calls. Stop. I want some phone calls. I want 866-313-3733. I ain't Judge Judy. I'm not plea bargaining with crooks, criminals, or larcenous types, but I do want you to call. Give us a buzz. 866, and I particularly want to hear from the girls on this. 866-313-3733. Who's better? The girl next door? Or the porn star? Who's got it going on? Stacy's mom? Or the girl on the video? Or is the girl on the video just a kid next door who happened to wind up with her 15 minutes of fame? What do you think? Animal, what do you think? Which is your preference?
My preference is like...
Did you actually just say my preference?
I'm from Alabama, so I can get away with that.
That was
slang.
So cool. It's like a my Sharona.
Yeah, I can say yan come a whole lot of heap of people and get away with it.
Show enough MSB do. Yo.
Yeah. I like that.
Okay, smooth as a prom queen's thighs. Joe, not quite as federally dangerous. You had a thought, and I interrupted.
What I was going to say, I get off on watching other people getting sex, having sex with my wife. You know, we watch porn. We like to watch other people have sex, and then sometimes we might act it out.
And does she know that you're talking about this currently?
I hope not.
I think it's all good. And you know what? I got a few emails the other day about a comment that I made, and they put it on the commercial, that said, I got nothing wrong with watching two girls together, but that I had a thing wrong with watching two guys together. Look, I got no thing wrong with anybody being together. Girls with guys, guys with girls, guys with guys, two girls in a toaster oven. It's all fine with me. What I meant was, if I'm gonna walk into a junior college bathroom and stumble onto something, I have no problem stumbling onto two girls making out. Fellas, keep it in your apartment. Don't scare the horses. That's just a personal that's a personal issue. But hey, I want to go online and say, whatever you want to do, as long as you don't ruin the toaster oven for the rest of us.
Play the guitar here, Brian.
Gene Simmons promotes indie racing with a song. Don't be surprised to find a checkered flag soon amid the black and white Kiss face paint of tongue-wagging bassist Gene Simmons. Do you have the song, Ashley, Al?
Yes.
Is that what you got?
Yep.
Go ahead and hook that up, Hutch, and give me a signal when you've got that ready here.
You got it, boss. Hold on.
Simmons and marketing partner Rich Amberson have signed a deal to promote the Indy Racing League, the open-wheeled circuit announced. What is the open-wheel Indy Racing League? Is that the Indiana 500? Is that what I'm seeing here? Is this a new kind of racing league? Do you know?
I would think so. With NASCAR being as big as it is, they're going to do all the car stuff they can now. So,
I don't know. The promotion campaign features a 91-second anthem called I Am Indy, sung by Simmons, backed by the band Bag. I wonder what that is. The lyrics, which repeat the song title I Am Indy, preach about individuality and top speed performance. Okay. I'm going to think about porno. You go ahead and play the song here. Let's take a little listen before we go to the spots here. This is Gene Simmons' tune. I love Queen.
We will steal from you.
Okay, I think that's a great song. I loved it when it came out in 1976, and they really rocked me. Sorry, Gene, that's great. Come on. Go ahead, you're on, Robin.
Oh, it sounds like he was saying, I am Mindy.
He may be.
I am Mindy.
There's a reality series that Gene is doing, and that's coming out. You know, I wonder what Gene would say about the porno issue. He's been with something crazy, like 4,000 girls. I've seen some of his photo albums, and none of them are less than a number 7 on the dude index. You follow what I'm saying?
I guess I do.
I wonder what he would register as far as, is it professional quality that wins the day, or is it the girl next door? 866-313-3733.
What would you rather date?
I'd rather go to the commercial and think about it, baby.
David Lee Roth in the mornings.